Hello. You're listening to What the Fuck Do We Know? These days, one of the most interesting, or maybe exciting is a better word, exciting topics to talk about is gender. Because a lot of people get, angry. A lot of people are kind of laissez-faire about it. And then there are people that are too passionate about it, if you ask me. But yeah, gender. What is gender? Why does gender matter? Why do people care enough to want to change their gender? These are all questions that are important these days. Do you agree?
I agree, but probably not in Ukraine. Probably if you're talking specifically to the US. I don't know about Europe. Would you think it's a big topic in Europe?
I think that Europe is probably more liberal than the US. Just digressing a little bit. Greece recently legalized gay marriage. And they were like, it's the first Orthodox Christian country to do it. And I thought that's so crazy that they legalized gay marriage. Now it's like the most gay place in the world.
Is it?
It's like EDM in summer next to the beach and the blue sea. It's so gay. I was surprised about it. But anyway, I think Europe is more liberal than US just in general. So I think that in Europe, it's not so much of a conversation because it's not too questioned. Get what I mean? But in the US,
not as polarized.
Yeah, exactly. It's really polarized in the US. And that's why I think it's much more of a conversation there.
I think the most annoying thing about this entire discourse in the US is that about definitions. This is the most ridiculous thing that people come and just speak, discuss. What is woman? What is woman? No, this is woman? No. This is not the definition.
Well, I think people that are asking those questions, that's like a gotcha question, I guess. It's supposed to be a gotcha question. Don't you think so?
And my problem is that on both sides, there is a problem because progressive people, they can't answer this question. They just say whoever says they're a woman, whatever they feel.
Okay.
That's it.
Stop. You answer the question. What is a woman?
Okay. So I think the problem with this, I will not avoid the question. I will just
you will.
Start.
Okay, what
from,
is a woman?
From afar. So I think that the problem is that people expect
a categorical definition.
But the reality is that, as with many definitions, it's more like there is like this semantic cloud. And it's not that you have a specific property that is necessary and to qualify anyone to be a woman.
I think female is necessary to qualify anyone to be a woman. I'm kidding.
No.
Continue. I'm a very liberal person.
So liberal.
Go on.
Well, not when it comes to trans people, though.
What?
You're trans exclusatory liberal person.
What are you talking about? People are listening to this.
Yes.
I'm not.
Okay, sure. If you say so. Anyway, so it's not a categorical definition. It's you don't have a specific property that is necessary or sufficient in order to define someone as a woman. It's like,
okay.
For instance, I don't know, like bird. What is a bird? When I say a bird, in your mind, you probably think of something like a crow or like a robin. You don't think about a penguin.
I didn't think about that. I thought about a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah.
Because you like chicken.
No,
you like to eat meat. You just ate chicken.
It's very common.
Yeah. But people usually don't think about a penguin.
I think I would consider a penguin as well. It's a bird.
It has the shape of a bird. The point is that...
It has wings.
The point is that in this semantic cloud or nebula, in the center you have the some more common birds. And on the periphery... You have less common birds.
Yeah,
and like
penguins.
As with the cloud, you can identify like the center of the cloud. Mm. You can identify easily what is clearly not a part of the cloud. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this periphery, you can't really pinpoint where it stops being a cloud.
So basically, trans women are the penguins of womanhood.
Well, are the
penguins of womanhood.
Okay, yes? Good. I think so. For
what
most people.
What is your definition, though?
I think it's many, many parameters and like femininity.
What is the difference from that response and like any progressive politician?
No, I don't say it's whoever feels whatever they feels that it's not a definition through feeling. My definition is also includes some physical traits and femininity, physical femininity.
What is femininity? Go ahead.
Like secondary sex or properties.
Why can't you say the word? What is secondary?
I mean,
secondary sex properties. Say the word, Jesus Christ.
What, you want to hear boobs or like what? Bigger, how's it called? Oh my God.
Hips.
Hips, right. You want to hear that? Yes, that, like okay. Less hair.
There are men with gynecomastia and bigger hips.
And that's...
Are they women?
That's exactly my point. There are many, many properties. So you can't reduce it to one property.
What is the harm? And this is not because this is my view, but what is the harm in accepting just if someone says, I am a woman, I may look and present as what a typical man presents like, but I am a woman. What is the harm for society in just taking that person at their word and accepting that they are a woman?
For me personally, if anyone asks me, to use whatever pronouns, I don't see any harm. I will do my best. I mean, maybe I will not get it from the first time, but I'll do my best to accommodate because it's a person. It doesn't hurt me.
Right.
I can put that little of effort. But just to keep the conversation going, when someone says...
My question.
No, okay. When someone says that, my question is, but what does it mean? You're saying you're a woman. What does it mean?
So then it goes back to gender, right? And what is gender? So gender, I guess, is the big question. Is gender a societal construct or not? But what is gender? And I think I'm correct in believing that gender has to do more with characteristics in terms of society and culture and has a lot to do with roles in society and culture. So not biological differences.
So when someone says they're a woman,
yes.
Even if it is... It can be related to a social role,
right?
But then you have to be able to say what exactly it means. What kind of social role? Does it mean that you want to be a mother? You are a more nurturing person?
Oh my God. So women are just here to make babies.
I'm sorry.
That's like the first thing that came to your
mind. Oh, this is the stereotype,
fucking
yes.
Children? Not fucking children.
Oh, wow. This is the first thing that came to your mind?
Good. So
okay, so what is it?
What is it that
the
makes
social
them
role
think like that they are a woman? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know because I'm not a woman.
Okay, a man. Do you call yourself
no,
a man?
Well, I do because I've been called a man, and I just don't have any reason to change it. I don't see any reason to change it. We've discussed this before in private, as you would say, off the record. Like someone keeps a record of this shit. Anyway, so we've discussed this before, and I personally was. Called a man, you know, a male or whatever. And I've just grown up my entire life being fine with it. And quite frankly, I'm a fan of my penis. So
so you're saying women can't have a penis?
No. No. But I'm saying, okay, but it's... Oh, shit.
Okay, it's good.
Okay, but okay, I made a joke about the penis thing, of course, but the real answer is like I just don't care enough to change it.
You don't care about your penis? It's so offensive.
I haven't been using it for a long time, so but I don't care enough to want to try to figure out if being a man is actually right for me. I don't know. And honestly, to some extent, although I am very respectful of what people tell me or who people tell me they are, to some extent, I don't really understand why other people care about it that much.
So basically, you accept whatever people call you, but you don't identify with it. You don't have that strong bond.
No, I don't have a strong identity with it. It's not like a huge part. Like if you ask me, who are you? Oh, I am a man. I don't have a strong, you know.
Well, your voice is very deep, which is typical of a man.
Yeah, right. Except when I laugh. I don't have a strong like connection to being a man. You know, I'm not like stereotypically manly, you know, or mannish or whatever it is. But I don't have a need to want to be called a woman. I don't care. That's the real answer. It's, I just don't
same
care.
For me. But like, I was thinking, where did this body dysmorphia come from? Like, is it, can it be even genetic?
I think like it's an interesting question to bring up here where neither of us.
I mean, but we still want to know, right?
Oh, I do, yeah. No, I'm very
curious.
I
tried to read a little bit about it. But like, okay, I have kind of two alternative hypotheses, right?
Alternative to what?
Alternative to each other. Okay. So first, what comes first here? Either it is a genetic predisposition, which is like, I haven't done research, but I don't think we have this research, to be honest.
I haven't done research.
I believe you. But I don't think there is any research on
because
this,
you
to be
haven't
honest.
Done it. Okay.
Science can do without me.
Okay.
But alternative is that this body dysmorphia is itself a social construct that people, for some reason, they don't like the social role that is associated with their sex, and then they start associating different body parts with the social role, and then they start not liking these body parts because they don't like the social role.
Let's discuss the social construct thing. A lot of people who go non-binary or just kind of go against the binary gender, part of their argument as to why it should be acceptable is they say gender is a social construct. Right. Do you think it begs a question of why then do you care to not identify or to identify in a different gender if it's all a social construct? Then it doesn't really mean anything if you're a man or a woman, or if people call you a man or a woman, right?
I don't have a problem with this because, I mean, your food taste is a social construct, but you still care about food and which food you eat.
Hold on, my food taste is a social construct?
It is. I mean, to a big extent. Of course, like, if it is really bad food, we have some genetic predisposition against it.
Today.
But today was a great meal, by the way.
It was horrible.
8 out of 10.
0.
You said 2, okay?
Well, it has reduced since then.
So there are a lot of things that are social constructs.
Maybe you're not. Okay, go on.
Preference to music. This is
no, but we don't. So okay, no,
but you still have it, and you still like some music.
Having it or not, but it's like, okay, it is a social construct, and I do like music, like some music. But why do I care? Well, I don't like to use music as I want to stick to gender. Like, it is a social construct. That means that it is made up to some extent, right? And I can just simply go against this construct and just fit into whatever I want to fit in without caring about the nomenclature.
But why would you?
Or the naming or whatever.
That's okay, name, I agree,
like,
that
if
name,
I wanted
yes.
to like perform the roles that have been assigned to the female gender in our world, in our society, I would just do it. I wouldn't care if people called me she, her, or whatever.
Okay, so it's about how other people see you.
Yeah,
right?
That's my thing. It's like, it's all social. It's a social thing, but then we care so much, you know. Like, why?
Because, like, I thought you were going with why, if it's all social construct, why can't you mend yourself into whatever you're assigned
to? No,
at
no,
birth?
No. My point is just, like, if it's all a social construct, why don't you just, like, do whatever the fuck you want to do and don't really care too much about the naming of it. And
Because people care what other people think of them.
Yeah.
But I understand when it comes to these common pronouns like she, he, right? And I understand that you, again, this mechanism that I described, because you, for some reason, you don't like the social role that is assigned to you. You get, like, the pronouns get associated with the social mm-hmm. role so much that you really can't accept it. But then what I don't understand is, and I understand it's just like you don't want to be called that. But what I don't understand is when people say that, okay, this is my pronoun now, and I don't understand how you can choose between many different new pronouns. Like, how can you choose between E, Z, C,
well,
C, or whatever?
In person who has that, one of those pronouns. I'm really curious to meet those people to understand what is the alignment with Q or whatever. What, how, because we, you know, with the common ones, with the he, she, we know in some way what roles that like what is connected to those like pronouns, right? The associated roles, so to speak. But when you have like Q or Z, what is it?
I mean, for me, it's just something that is not he or she. You just don't want to be associated with that.
They?
But how, or they, yeah. But then I don't understand how do you say that I identify with
it? Z and not with Q.
Yes, exactly.
Big questions, bro.
So is it, oh, this podcast is about questions.
Right, yeah. And no one to answer them.
Do your own research and answer these questions.
No, but it is a good question. It's like, how do you choose? And speaking of pronouns, right? We've talked about this also a little bit. The people who choose like they, she, you know, for example,
okay,
together. And I did speak about this a little bit with a transgender friend of mine, and he has seen it, you know, it exists. And he mentioned to me about a trans non-binary person, and that kind of blew my mind a little bit. But
well, there is, I guess, all non-binary people in some way they are trans because they transitioned from their gender.
Well, no, but this is the thing. This was like a MTF,
mm-hmm.
Like non-binary person.
MTF, non-binary.
Yeah, so the person transitioned.
So you're both a female,
to female,
a woman,
and then
a woman, and
was like non-binary.
Or maybe they're fluid.
It blew my mind, but to stick to the they, she people, I don't get it because at the end of the day, nothing has really changed. Because if you're she now, right, and you decide, okay, now I am they, she, I'm still going to call you she because, like, I know you're a she and I understand that that's not a problem for you. So I'm just going to keep calling you she and I will never say the they part. I don't get it because they has this, like, covering of both genders. So what are you? Are you all genders and female?
Maybe they just don't care. They just don't like men.
But if they do, if they don't care, why bring that they part into it? And I'm not saying this from a place of prejudice, if you can notice from the way my voice is when I'm saying it. But I'm saying it from a place of like complete misunderstanding. And this is coming from someone who has a pretty open mind to understand a lot of things, except priests who fuck children.
So close-minded, honestly. You shouldn't be even on.
Don't bring that energy into this before people think that you are endorsing this.
I'm not endorsing.
Okay. So, no, but I have a pretty open mind, but I'm stumped by this one because I don't get it. And it's becoming more popular on Twitter. I see people's pronouns, they, he, they, she, and I'm thinking, like, what do I do with this exactly? But I don't talk with them, so it doesn't really affect my life. It doesn't ruin my day.
But you know? I do think that after you have chosen, so originally, maybe this connection is superficial. You just like how this sounds, you know? But then, like, after you've been using it for a while, you get this experience of your new identity, and then you get all
what
this.
What is your new identity in this case that I just...
No, if you, after you transitioned...
Oh, you're talking about trans...
Not just non-binary, for instance. I mean, transitioned from being a man or a woman and then into being non-binary, and then you become, like, maybe you change your social environment, and all of that brings new associations. So after a while, I can see how you can get attached to that pronoun to the extent that you can actually identify with it. But I think that this happens only after you actually get those new experiences.
Also, speaking of pronouns, like, I cannot say that I'm attached to my pronoun. What the fuck do I care if someone calls me she? I'm like, okay.
Why?
Doesn't I don't feel like a reaction at all.
But you would notice it.
Like, the only reason I'd correct it is if it was incorrect grammatically. It's like in English. Yeah? But I would notice it, I guess, but it wouldn't like fluster me, or it wouldn't like make me feel a different type of way. I just notice it because many people don't do it, but it doesn't like, I don't care generally.
Well, I would care for one reason, because like for all my life, I haven't been called that. Well, I have been called that once.
By whom?
Oh, like this drunk guy. I was going back actually after I hang out with you, and this guy, and I have this the same beard that I have right now, and the guy said, hey, like, and like a woman or something, like, can you like tell me directions or something? Like, how could he confuse me with a woman? I don't know. But that was so interesting,
right?
So I would feel kind of not uncomfortable, but weird, because I would really start thinking, why did it happen? It's not weird, it's just like my mind would be, okay, what am I missing?
No, but are you then thinking, oh, am I showing off any feminine characteristics?
No.
Because I think that's what happens with people. I imagine myself 10 years ago, I would have cared, because I would have thought, oh, am I doing something with my body that's a little bit feminine? And I need to correct it and, you know, be more masculine, then I would care about it. So I think that's
it's
what
it's not
it is.
Prescriptive, no. I would imagine
I think you're lying to
I've
yourself.
I've been behaving the way I behave, okay, not my entire life, but it's been like some kind of slow change. But I haven't, from my perspective, I haven't changed much, and I haven't changed it in the way that's what, according to my model of society, people consider feminine. And then if suddenly people start using female pronouns towards me, I will just think, okay, what changed?
No, well, this is a different situation. If suddenly people start using,
yeah,
yes, that is something. If I went out looking the way I'm looking, and people started saying she, I'd be like, what's happening here?
Like, is it a prank or something?
Like, what's going on? But like, I'm just saying, like, on the, you know, on the off chance that like a one off situation where someone just says she is this,
oh no,
I wouldn't like go like, hey, what's happening? What am I doing? But no, if someone starts, if many people who have called me he before just start going she, I think something.
It's going to be like, what's happening?
Like, I would think that something has gone wrong, but it just wouldn't be like, I look in the mirror, I guess. Maybe I developed boobs or something that I can't see.
I don't think it's going to help.
What, the boobs?
Yeah.
Why? You think if I had boobs, people wouldn't think I'm a woman?
No, they wouldn't.
Why?
Because of your face.
Like, getting a braid this weekend, by the way.
No, you have too much face hair.
I've booked the appointment and I can shave my face. What? I've booked the appointment and I'm dreading talking. It's like 2+ hours. And
my God.
I'm going to kill myself.
You're dreading dreads.
It's not
talking
dreads.
Talking about dreads.
It's not dreads. I said I'm braiding my
hair. Braiding. So coming back to the definitions, it's very, I think the entire discourse is very, I don't know, maybe misguided, because why do we, in which cases do we actually care about gender? When does it actually matter?
Good question. When you get married?
I think it's very, no, why?
Why not? I think people care not to be married to the wrong gender in their eye, in their view.
No, but if you communicate with the person.
If you woke up and if you got married somehow, I don't know how, because I don't think that you're married before sex?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Wasn't that where you were going for?
No.
Okay.
I don't even understand what you mean by marriage.
No, like you marry before having sex, and then you find out that they have different.
Do you look at me as some kind of simple person? That's not what I was going to say. Jesus Christ.
That could be a problem. That's the only reasonable problem.
All these comedians who make jokes about like picking up a girl and going to the hotel and then, oh, she has a dick. Whoa. Seriously?
No, I do think it's a serious issue.
No, but anyway.
It's not a common issue, but.
Yeah. So my point was like, you get married to a woman, in your opinion.
And?
And other people's opinion as well. Well, okay, she's a she. And then you wake up one morning and it's he on your bed. Wouldn't you
So
care?
What is it? How would it be manifested?
I don't know. Like, her pronoun would change to he, if she told you like, now I identify as he and I want to transition, wouldn't you?
Well, that could have impact, but
okay, so that's when it could matter. Yeah, I suppose that was your question.
Okay, but it matters for this particular person.
Yes.
On personal level.
Sure.
But I was more referring to political level.
Oh, I don't see the level of society. It's such a big discourse. I know I've called it before gender derangement syndrome.
Mm.
I just don't get why it's a big discourse. I don't get why so many people are so like galvanized and so aggressive against it. Like, the fuck does it matter?
Not even the definition, but whether it is a social construct,
yeah, but or maybe a biological construct. It's about the impact on, like, you know, this on society that it could have when we get rid of this like binary gender in terms of family unit and procreation, etc.
I think that's one of the fears that conservative people make and announce, but I don't think it's a real danger. There is no real risk. I don't think that either.
But
the best kind of use case that I can think of is when it comes to interventions. So
particularly, oh, like
social constructs versus biological constructs. So if you have, especially when it comes to kids, if you have a child saying you that I'm experiencing this or that, what do you do with it? And that you actually need to know whether it can be treated with some kind
treated
of, well, treated in the way that you can get rid of body dysmorphia. You don't think body dysmorphia should be treated?
I think you meant it as it's a sickness.
Body dysmorphia is not a sickness.
No, yeah, it should be treated. But what do you mean by treated? Like get rid of the thought or
no? Like if it can be treated through therapy, would you prefer treating getting rid of body dysmorphia?
Figure out, well, like, if they need to transition.
You have body dysmorphia. Yes. You agree that you want to...
What is body dysmorphia for you? It's my question.
That's the thing, that in order to understand, you need to understand what works. We need to know what works. And if therapy can work for it, okay, I would prefer my child to go through therapy to get rid of body dysmorphia.
How? What does it look like getting rid of body dysmorphia? What is the presentation?
Of the therapy? Do you want a therapy procedure?
No. You say get rid of... So your child has body dysmorphia. Your child talks to you about feeling like a different gender or not being happy in their body.
Yes.
You send them to therapy. 3 years of therapy, they are cured, according to you. What does being cured of body dysmorphia look like?
They stop experiencing discomfort about their body.
What if they should change their body to stop experiencing discomfort?
Well, that's another way.
Is that a cure?
Well, we need data. I don't know. I don't have the data. And that's why this is...
The fuck are you talking about? We don't need data for this answer. What? For you, no. Is the cure for body dysmorphia just... You stop thinking of your body, stop like not liking the body you are in. Does that mean that you accept the body that you are in? Or does that also mean that you do something to begin to like your body because you get some kind of procedure that begins your transition, hormonal, surgical?
And whatever works for whoever the person is, that's what we should go for.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with people transitioning. But if there is a less invasive way to do it and it's as efficient, I would prefer it.
A less invasive way to what? Transition?
No, to treating body dysmorphia. Because that's the problem.
If the treatment of body dysmorphia in this patient is transitioning,
then we should go for it.
So what do you mean a less evasive way?
There
are two things. There are two things. Treatment of body dysmorphia. One thing, the person begins to accept the body that they are in. That's one treatment. And the other one is that the person does the transition because that body is just not for them, right?
Well, this is the two ways off the top of my head, yes.
What could be a third way?
I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
Because?
Or maybe pills. But we don't have them.
Pills to do what?
We don't have them.
To suppress body dysmorphia?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like antidepressants.
So what you are saying is that the preferable cure... For body dysmorphia is that the person just accepts their body.
First of all, my original point was related to when it actually matters whether gender is a social construct or biological construct.
I wanted us to clear up this thing, but if you don't want to, it's okay.
No, I think I already answered it.
You
have,
sure.
We need to be open-minded towards what is on the table, which treatments and interventions work and which don't work. As of now, many people transition and that helps them. I haven't heard, honestly, about, I don't know, is there like successful procedure, not protocol, for treating body dysmorphia in terms of therapy? I don't know much about that.
But the thing is, here we are still in this position. You say, what, successful? What does that mean? Is the
you stop experiencing it. What does it mean, successful treatment of anxiety? What does it mean?
Choosing to transition, and then when you transition, you stop experiencing body dysmorphia.
That's also successful. Yes.
So what are you talking about, things on the table? There are two things. I know somebody who felt like, who had body dysmorphia as a teenager, and then he didn't transition. He went through therapy and he didn't transition, and he is non-binary, but he realized that he doesn't want to transition. That is an option, right?
Yeah, okay.
One, they accept and they are comfortable with the body that they have. And the other one is they transition. What other thing are you talking about on the table?
I don't know. I think we agree on everything. I don't know what you disagree with.
I think
there is a lot to study here. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know what other solution you want from it. That's my question.
No, like right now, for instance, we could come up with some kind of pill.
For what though?
For not feeling this, for not feeling negative.
So it's a suppressant.
I don't know the mechanism of how it would work because we don't have it right now.
You don't need to know the mechanism of how it works. But if you're talking about coming up with some pill to treat body dysmorphia, then you're coming up with a pill to suppress the feeling of body dysmorphia.
Yet again, I don't know.
Other ways.
Because, yeah, but if we, this way could be better.
How?
How a pill can be better than therapy?
How would it be better to suppress that feeling than to somehow come through it by acceptance or
because
by actually
do you think that all people come through it? And do you think that all people have successful transition? Also transition, like physical transitions are
expensive as fuck. But it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean that it is better to suppress it.
Again, do we know where the body dysmorphia comes from? Do we know the mechanism of how it works? You want me to give you biological mechanism, how the pill will work.
That is
when
what
we don't
I want
know
to, you to give
how
me.
It works.
I'm not asking you for any biological process. It's easy to say something is a suppressant or not.
That's what you've been saying.
Yes, I'm not asking you to dictate or tell me how it will work on a biological level. I'm asking you what you actually want. You say we want to find a less invasive procedure. The less invasive cure for body dysmorphia is that the person accepts their body. That is a fine cure. The other cure is that the person decides to transition. Fully transition or not fully transition, the person does decide to transition to begin to accept, to begin to deal with the body dysmorphia. If there is another option for you is pills, I don't just understand why. Ooh. I don't see any usefulness for me. Mentally, I don't see the
usefulness
of
depression, anxiety. You can have therapy, you can have a pill.
No,
they can work together.
What is the benefit of putting someone on a pill for the rest of their life to suppress the feeling of body dysmorphia? How is that even better
than
the other one?
Than transition?
Than acceptance or transition. I don't get why that is better.
I think transition, it has, first of all,
it has risks,
a lot of money. Second, a lot of risks. Third,
yes, but again, the thing is the goal for the people who are transitioning. They want to accept their body. They don't want to be forced into accepting their body by pills.
I mean, so people who are on antidepressants, they're forced into not feeling depressed and
people
feeling happy.
On antidepressants have taken help to not be depressed because they cannot achieve it by themselves. Yes.
And what is bad about it?
It's not bad for antidepressants.
So?
It would be great to be able to achieve it without antidepressants. But when we talk about body dysmorphia, it's a totally different conversation. It is.
Well, it's still a mental issue.
It is a mental issue, but it's not depression. And it's a totally different
conversation. It's totally different thing, but...
So I don't know why pills are
still
even like an option for...
I think
option.
It's a valid option.
I don't. And I don't know what you keep saying, like the open the table to other ways, but whatever.
Go what on. I mean is, it's just we need more research. That's it. So I think when it comes to social versus biological construct, this is when it actually matters to understand the mechanism. But when it comes to our everyday life, it doesn't really matter. And another point about us talking about definitions, it's just what really matters, I think, is power, and like power in the broad sense of the word, like what kind of resources and rights people who belong to different minority groups and suppressed groups have. And that's what we should talk about. Why are we talking about definitions if we can talk about rights, whether about specific use cases, about specific things like sports or even like toilets, to be honest. This is a specific issue. You can solve it.
What do you mean we're talking about definition? Like who is... Oh, you mean the questions that people ask?
I mean, people argue about what is a woman? Oh, instead of it. Arguing...
Like very far, but...
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
Why can't we just speak about real issues? Why can't we...
But they do. I think people do. The toilet conversation is such a huge conversation.
Oh, toilet is not the biggest one.
And the sports conversation is such a huge conversation. I think that healthcare should be a priority in these conversations. But the sports conversation is a very tough conversation. As far as I've seen, there hasn't been that much like superiority in competitions by like trans athletes. So I don't know that it's a problem. Yet.
I think it is a problem.
No, well, it's not seen yet. That much. It's well, first of all, because there are not that many percent of them, people. Exactly. Yeah, but I've seen some wrestling situations, and as I could see, they don't always win. But anyway, I do think it's something that is valid to talk about, because what do you do really with the competition?
Well, you haven't seen this case where there was a man who transitioned in their 30s, I think, and he did this. How's it called? Powerlifting. And then she just participated in the next World Cup. And from being like, I don't know, top 50, they became top one. So, and I mean, clearly it does feel, at least on some level, unfair.
Right.
For many people.
But the thing is that this man, or guess woman now, right?
Yeah.
This woman didn't transition just so that she could... Well, I can't imagine that she transitions just so she could become number one on the, I don't know, table. So I can't say that, well, she was doing this to become a very powerful athlete. It would be so ridiculous for me. So I don't think that that's what she did. But I do think anyway, it's still a valid conversation, because what do? You cannot create another category. It's not good to create another category. You cannot ban them from sports.
I think it's also a problem of sports, like, because at a professional level, mm-hmm. like marathon runners, for instance, mm-hmm. I just checked the top 100 marathon runners, and there were like probably 80 plus or 90 plus of them were from either Kenya or Ethiopia.
Okay.
And why? Because there are some social reasons for that, like culture and like environmental. I guess there are more mountains there. But like a big thing is just genetical, okay. Like the oxygen, like metabolism just works better. Mm-hmm. Their VO2 max is better. And
what
is it fair, like in terms of sports?
So they should ban black Africans from competing.
Not Africans, just people.
You mentioned two countries that are in where?
No, they are there. Yeah. Most of them are from Kenya and Ethiopia.
So you want to ban Africans?
There are no Nigerians. Competing.
Nigerians don't have any kind of predisposition to marathon running at all.
No, my point, I didn't know. No, no. My argument wasn't about banning. My argument is that sports is inherently unfair.
Why are they? Oh, well. So
sports
what?
Is inherently unfair. Inherently unfair. Wouldn't you agree? Like, genetically, after you surpass these social limitations, when you get to the professional level, everyone gets more or less the same resources, more or less the same coaches, and they have
everything
more or less the same work ethics.
Unfair.
No,
school is inherently unfair. Some people are just smarter than other, more
well,
intelligent
yeah,
than
exactly.
other people. Well,
yeah,
exactly. What? This is not a problem.
Well, why is it a problem in sports?
Well, I don't think it's a problem in sports when it's like something that is more just natural and biological. When there have been changes, that's when people talk about it, because transitioning for a lot of people feels like an enhancement, especially when it's like a woman, a male going to female. It feels like there's an enhancement there. You have just more of a superior, more chances than just like the normal thing. You can imagine a Kenyan man who is like a really good marathoner, right? And he transitions to a woman and then goes in to compete against women. He stands a pretty, really, really, really good chance of winning. So in that case, it feels kind of like, you know, an enhancement. That's why there is that conversation about it. It's not just that, it's unfair just from the beginning, because it's unfair. Some people are not more naturally gifted than other people also, but it's unfair from the beginning. But then there is an extra level of unfairness for a lot of people.
Because it's conscious.
Yes. And I don't have an answer to this question, honestly, with sports. I kind of walk away from it because I do think we have to find a way to really like fix it. I don't know. But I walk think away there is from a way because I don't out. Know what it is.
I don't think there is a way out.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to talk about.
Or maybe the way out is early transitioning.
Early transitioning, but I don't know the research, but I suspect there might be still benefits.
Yeah, but I think that you've been using for so long that it might be like really diminished. But like maybe they can go like only trans athletes who transitioned before puberty or something.
Maybe like one way out, which is abandon sports. Altogether.
Sports is important. I don't like football, but
why is it important?
Well, do we want to
professional sports? No, we don't.
Okay.
Good one. So I think a lot of progressive people, they've been having a problem with acknowledging like genetic differences. Well, obviously when it comes to physiological differences, no one denies that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to potentially some mental differences, I think that that's what most people on the left, they have troubles acknowledging.
I think it's because of how that argument is made and why that argument is made. I think that's just a lot of like, it's the way it's brought towards them. It's just like, you know, it's like an attack to them. And I agree with you that they try to just avoid, or what's the word, just ignore the existence of genetic differences. But I think it's because when the argument is made towards them, it's an attack. And validating it, like it kind of like reduces their own position, or the validity of their own position as well during the conversation. But I think that most people do in their private time acknowledge this.
I don't think so. I think that people just really, they don't go that far. They just cut it off. And not only for the purposes of winning the argument, but because they really think so.
Well, you mentioned mental differences. What, for example, are you talking about?
There have been studies. So like why I started thinking about it, maybe some background, some guy, Russian politician, libertarian, he posted the top 100 chess players and like no women there. Mm-hmm. And with a comment that, hey, this is all you need to know about the differences between sexes. And then there was, of course, a position from liberal women saying that, hey, it's all can be explained by social factors.
It really can, though.
It can be. But at the same time, I feel like we don't know.
But isn't it the same conversation like, look at all the inventors or scientists, how many of them are women? A small fraction of them are women. And it's not because women couldn't invent or couldn't be scientists. Like, don't have the mental capacities because they weren't allowed.
I think those are definitely factors that had significant impact. And I think that historically what happened is that historically we had a society that had this biological like essentialism, and we said that women are naturally these supposed to do these things, and men are supposed to do these things. Then it turned out that if we take away all these limitations, that women can do a lot more. And women can lead and be politicians and be scientists, etc. But it still doesn't mean that we should like the pendulum basically swung all the way to like to the other side, saying that there are no genetic differences.
But I don't think I've heard anybody say that yet.
You haven't?
No.
I've heard so many people saying that.
I've not heard anybody say that because there are, like, apart from mental differences, there are physical differences.
No. I'm talking specifically about mental.
I've never heard anybody say there are no mental differences. Even I find mental differences genetically very weak. I don't say that there are no differences, but I just think it's such a, it's weak. And I think that when we have that conversation, especially with, another reason is because people have that conversation in relation to intelligence. And I don't think that there is a genetic, like men are genetically predisposed to be more intelligent than women.
Well, it depends on the definition of intelligence. Mm-hmm. But let's take chess, for instance. After we factor out all these social factors that are there, I will not go into detail what they are.
Don't.
But quite theoretically, it could be a thing that men on average are a little bit better at playing chess. Not obviously there is no gene responsible for chess, but mm-hmm. there have been studies that men are better at spatial awareness. And spatial awareness, like what chess players
is
usually do.
Is it possible that...
No. Yes.
Is it possible that this is a thing that has been so much like imbibed or imbued in our... has been sewn into
embedded.
Our society, embedded as in our society, that it's still not been shaken yet, even if we feel like there is an opening for women to be able to participate in something like this. It's just not been shaken by even women who are still very much a part of the culture of the past that doesn't allow them to do this.
I'm sure it's still the case, and the gap will definitely...
So when you say there is a research that shows that men have more spatial... Oh, what did you say? Sorry, spatial reasoning?
Spatial awareness. They can move basically mentally figures better.
I understand, but is it possible that like because of all the restriction and all the roadblock, and we should bring it to an end soon, because of all the restriction and all the roadblocks against women in the past, that we haven't just come to a point yet where that has been taken out of the mindset of people enough that they can actually allow themselves to be like to compete in the level of
think so, because this test, like spatial awareness, it is a very basic test. It's not that there is a stereotype that women
are bad at this. I'm just saying I think that society does have much more influence on our abilities than we consider all the time. But we should round this up, really.
We should. Yeah. I had an insurance tangent too, but
no
insurance tangent.
I'm going to close it off with one thing.
Okay.
It's going to be a rant.
A rant?
Gender, yes.
A long rant?
No, it's going to be like 30 seconds, I think. Gender reveal parties. Stop that shit. Stop it. Stop it right now. What the fuck is wrong with people? Why do you care the gender of your child? Why the fuck do you make a recording of yourself celebrating your child's gender? And what happens if they have body dysmorphia? What happens if they have problems with their gender in the future? And they see a video of you celebrating that they're a fucking daughter and not a son. Don't you think it will affect them, you dumbasses? And then getting angry when your child is not the gender you were expecting. Jesus Christ. What is wrong with you people? Stop it. I think it should be a crime. If I were president of a country, this would be like my mandate, my election thing would be criminalize gender reveal parties. I hate them. I think they're dumb. I think they're stupid. And I think people should stop doing it. Why the fuck do you care? I don't really care that much, but I want it to be more of a rant. So yeah, it's dumb and it's stupid. Stop it. Goodbye.
Say goodbye. Goodbye.